good morning. It is great to be here this morning and to share with you guys. So today we are talking about joy. Today we're talking about joy. And I want to acknowledge today, just before we get into anything, before we get started, you might find yourself in a season of joy, or you might feel like the complete opposite today. And today I want to start by saying that there's room for you. There's room for you. You're welcome to engage with the joy of Christ, no matter what the season of the soul is for you today. And notice that I said the joy of Christ. Christ is with you today. And I'm going to start with a reading, and we're going to go into Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. This one may not be up on the screen. Feel welcome to follow along in your Bible or just listen as we go through this. So Luke 1, starting at verse 26, and it goes like this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Rejoice." That's like the action of joy. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So I'm going to be focusing mainly on two things that the angel said here. One being, rejoice. Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you. And the other one is, for no word from God will ever fail. And before I really get into that, I have a story. And you know me as the youth group guy, so I'm going to tell you a youth group story. Every year at youth, we do a game I call Ugly Santa. There's probably a better name I can come up with. If you guys can think of one, let me know after the service. But I call this Ugly Santa, and I'm going to tell you the rules. Again, feel free to steal this idea for your Christmas party. We do it at our Christmas party, so in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing this. And the rules are this. You have to bring a gift, and the gift has to, one, not cost you anything. Two, is something from around your house that you don't want anymore. Three, it has to be nicely wrapped. So you can't just like chuck it in like some newspaper or something. Like you have to actually wrap it nicely, okay? And it preferably will be something someone wants. Or at least, you know, bring up some laughs, right? So, you know, don't just wrap up like an old Tim Hortons cup or something. Like something actually good. So essentially you're re-gifting something from your house that you don't want. And we put them all under a tree here. Okay, so we got a tree up at the front. We just like cover it with gifts. As the kids come in, they put their gift under the tree. And it just looks beautiful with all these nicely wrapped gifts. And even though no one brought something like really significant, somehow we are still anticipating that we will get something nice from under this tree because we see all the gifts. So we draw numbers, and then when you hear your number called, you come up and you pick your favorite wrapped gift from under the tree. It's so funny, like the kids, they automatically go, well, I do this too, automatically go to like the nicest wrapped gift or like the biggest gift. I've heard kids already say like, "I'm gonna get the biggest gift that's under the tree this year." Like it's already starting. And the funny thing is, even though you go for the nicest wrapped gift or the biggest one, it's really most of them, with the rare exception, are kind of junk, right? And so some gifts that have appeared, I'll give you some examples from last year. There was a dollar store can of beans that somebody got as a gift. There was a used bathroom reader. So just to highlight that, a used bathroom reader, okay? Like there's no sanitizer included with this gift. Old dishcloths, a bag of old batteries with a label that said toy not included. You know, instead of the opposite where the toy and the batteries aren't included. And I, Letitia, my wife, actually last year, she got someone's old, like, wrapped up math homework. And the best is there's always, like, one kid who, like, misinterprets the rules and comes with, like, a $30 gift card and, like, a bunch of chocolate. And then everybody, like, fights over that gift all night. And but the thing is, though, the kids are always so excited to see these presents under the tree. They're so excited to come in. There's, like, this anticipation. I see this tree. I see all these gifts under the tree. And even though it's kind of junk, all just nicely wrapped under there. But we're still like, ooh, it's Christmas. Like, what am I going to get? It's that anticipation. And so there's kind of like these emotional phases that happen at these things. I call it the emotional phases of an ugly Santa party. And it starts like this. Phase one, joy and anticipation. Seeing all those gifts under the tree. Phase two, the results sometimes end in disappointment. because these presents under the tree seem to hold a promise of something that was going to be something of value, bring joy, be something that we actually wanted. Phase three, we go from disappointment to trying to make peace with the results. We press through, we look for the best in it, which typically ends, at these parties at least, with a lot of laughs along the way, typically at our own expense. Phase four, then we look around and we start comparing to others, though. We go, wait, that person got a $30 gift card with chocolate. Like, why do I get a can of beans, right? And so we start comparing to others, asking ourselves, why didn't we get something better? So we might find some treasures along the way, some hidden treasures in these gifts. We'll have some fun, but at the end of the day, if we're looking for something more than a laugh, we typically will be disappointed because most of the gifts are junk. So why am I telling you this story? Let's shift to us in this room. What brings us joy? What brings us joy? Like, picture this world as like a giant Christmas tree, right? And like there's all these gifts underneath it. So many gifts are nicely wrapped, you know, full of promises. Maybe if we open just the right gift, just the right thing in this life, we'll find that ever fleeting thing called joy. Like, maybe it's, like, activities and hobbies, right? Like, if I do this, it will bring me joy, right? Like, if I finally get to travel, like, Letitia and I, we usually love to travel at least once a year, and, you know, in the time that we're in, we haven't done it as much. Maybe it's join a club or team or get a new skill. If I do this, it will bring me joy. Or maybe it's rest. If I do less, it will bring me joy. Anyone feel a little bit tired in this season? Like maybe a few of us, right? If I rest, maybe if I do less, it will bring me joy. Of course, like maybe a nicely wrapped gift in this world is new stuff, right? Maybe if I fill my house with new things, it'll bring me joy. Maybe it's a new home improvement or a better house or, I don't know, clothes, electronics, whatever it is. Maybe if I get this, it will bring me joy. Life situations. If life improves, if I just hang on, if things go back to some kind of normal, oh, if things would go back to like pre-2019, maybe that will bring me joy. If, and maybe like some very like legitimate things, right? Like if my health improves, if my family finally calls me, if I get a better job, if I find some like new good friends, those things will bring me joy. If that will bring me joy. But if you think you'll find a full, rich, complete joy in any of these places, as much as a gift as some of those things are, sorry to break it to you, but you might be at an ugly Santa party. Like, let's review the emotional phases of an ugly Santa party again. Phase one, joy and anticipation. When you see that potential of that gift, right? That promise wrapped up nicely. Phase two. But the results, even if you find an amazing friend, or if your health dramatically improves, if life goes back to some version of pre-2019, even these results can end up in disappointment, because those presents under the tree seem to hold a promise of joy. But maybe in the long term, they didn't provide that. Maybe in the long term, because joy can be attached to these things, absolutely. 100% it can be attached to these things. But it's not where joy comes from. And then maybe we go from disappointment to trying to make peace with the results. We press through and we look for the best in our current situation. But then phase four happens and we look around and we compare to others and go, why didn't I get something better? Why didn't I get something better? So you may find these hidden treasures, but if you're looking to get true joy out of it, this isn't where you find it. Because if you're looking for a fulfilling, long-term, real joy in these, it's not where it comes from. No matter how many times you go back to that Christmas tree of this world and find another gift. So joy. Joyous news was a moment we enact and celebrate in Advent. It's this beautiful time, even as we look at the angel's proclamation to Mary, that she would be with child. We see there is a promise attached. We see the promise that even in the most impossible situations, that no word from God will ever fail. In other words, what God says, our promise is kept. And Mary's response to this wild, angelic proclamation was to take an act of faith and obedience and humbly stated, I am the Lord's servant. And may your word to me be fulfilled. See, Mary's road ahead wasn't going to be easy. Yet Gabriel said, rejoice. Like, we live in a time of Advent where we gather to collectively enact anticipation of a historical, beautiful moment of Christ being born. Yet, it is not only in enacting a historical event that we celebrate, for now we live in the reality that Christ is here. Right? Like Gabriel said, rejoice, favored woman. Rejoice. The Lord is with you. He is our Emmanuel. He is with us. So what does that have to do with today? Like, how does that actually help us today? How does that help me today? Where is this like fleeting thing called joy? We rejoice because this promise was not just for Mary. It was not just for people in the Bible. God wasn't just for them or with them. Emmanuel is God with us. And that means he is here with us still today, no matter what the season is. Beautiful, difficult, painful. He gives us assurance that you're not alone. He gives you strength. He gives us strength. And dare I say, even joy when the circumstances don't make sense. And not that forced, like that forced joy where you pretend to be happy, but like true joy. See, in Psalm 16, there's a verse, Psalm 16, 11, where it talks about joy is in God's presence. It says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. As we seek him, as we engage with his presence, you fill me with joy. And some of us look even at our dire situations and just like make peace with it, right? We make peace with what we have. And like, maybe you've said this or you've heard this, like, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. But we have God. Like, we're, you know, in Galatians, we have the fruits of the Spirit, right? And we have love. And then, like, the next one is joy, right? It comes from God. And it's like even when Moses asked God who he is in the Bible, in Exodus, I think in Exodus 3, it says, God said to Moses, when Moses goes, who are you? He says, I am who I am, right? So maybe in our situations, sometimes instead of being like, it is what it is, we can actually look to God and just remember who he is, right? 1 Corinthians says that we have received, what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. It is free. Christ's joy is in us. Christ's joy is accessible. This complete joy, right? Like a complete joy. It's funny, when I was looking up this, when I was researching for the sermon, it's like you go through John, and Jesus says like multiple times in the book of John, he talks about joy, and it's his joy, but also a complete joy, right? So you go to John 15, and it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Flip to the next chapter, John 16. It says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. That complete joy. Flip in the next chapter, John 17. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Full measure, that sounds like complete to me. Complete joy, right? So joy is not found in the things of this world or better circumstances, right? It's not trying to stuff our feelings and pretend everything is all right, to like fake happy. True, complete joy, dare I say, even while acknowledging our difficulties in the season, comes only from God. Through Christ, as we continue, or as we commune with the Spirit of God, as we walk through each day in his presence. So I challenge you today, if you're longing for joy, if you're feeling empty, press into God. Engage in his presence. Go to the well. Find your joy there. Because God's presence is a gift, and he's for you. So I'm just going to end with paraphrasing a quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says, we are not dependent upon circumstances. Joy comes not from what we have, but from what we are, children of God. Not from where we are in this life, but from whose we are. Let's pray. God, thank you that we can just engage in your presence, God. God, that you are there, and that, God, we can look to you in any circumstances, no matter if this is a season of joy or if this is a season of sorrow, God, or if this is a difficult season or whatever it looks like to us, God. We know that you are there. You're God with us. So, God, we just... We ask for you to be near us, God, and to fill us with that joy, even if maybe the circumstances don't show us that, don't present themselves in what we see around us. So God, thank you for who you are, and that we can trust you, and we can trust your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.